A natural med isn't just a substance you take. It is a lifestyle that one lives to amplify their health. We don't always choose how long we will be on this planet, but we can take action on the quality of life that we wish to enjoy.
The Natural Med Podcast interviews different professionals and experts who look at improving the quality of health so they can live a more fulfilling life. Whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or spiritually, we discover the secrets to their own journey and the small steps individuals can take on a daily basis to improve the quality of their life. Come with me as we travel, research, and discover how we can make incremental changes on a daily basis to live a more fulfilled and balanced life. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Natural Med Podcast. Today, I'm here with Kelly Vickery, nurse practitioner, and of Journey Med Direct Primary Care and R&R Aesthetics and Wellness. I've known Kelly for years. We used to work in the ER together as nurses, and now she's a nurse practitioner. So welcome, Kelly, to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the medical industry and the health and wellness industry.
Yeah, so I started out, like you said, I think we worked together at my very first hospital. So I graduated in 2011 as an RN.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in ICU and ER, and we worked in the ER together at Medical Center of Louisville.
I know, like back so long ago. I feel like that was years ago.
11 years?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of bounced around from hospital to hospital in DFW, and I went kind of back and forth between ER and ICU. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make up my mind which one I liked better.
Yeah. I hear you. I worked both, so.
Yeah. I remember that. Didn't we work? I think we worked both ICU and ER together.
I think we did. Yeah, because I started in the ICU. I worked there for almost 4 years at Medical City Louisville in the ICU. And then I knew that I wanted
That's what happened. We worked ICU together first, and then I think
that's right.
I transferred to ER,
and then
I
was like, well, I need to do that too. So
yes.
It's coming, ICU buddy.
Coming back to me now.
Yeah, hey, OCD, ICU buddy.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did kind of the same thing, and I just liked both aspects of, you know, I liked the ER because you get all kinds of different things, you know, and a variety of different kinds of complaints, and you get to see different people at different, you know, stages of, you know, where they're at in
with
life,
their health
and their health
life and everything.
And then in ICU, you know, it's intense. You get to see people at their absolute worst. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the worst moments of their life ever.
Yeah.
You know, death of family members, you know, a lot of times you're treating the family through the grieving process, and that's more your job and more your role is to treat the family.
Yeah.
And it's intense, you know, so there's only so much that you can take, I think, for some people, you know, it's like, but that too was exciting because I also liked the critical thinking component of that, you know, so for those patients that you really have to think through the anatomy, physiology, and the pathophysiology and the why behind everything and, you know, why is this medication going to work and, you know, what exactly is this going to bind to that would, you know, fix this and what cascade is this, you know, so I enjoyed all of it. And so it was hard for me. So initially I wanted to do, I wanted to be a CRNA. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do nurse anesthetist. So I had applied to and got into and started at, TCU CRNA school.
Uh-huh.
And then I was actually diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and that was a few months before I had gotten my acceptance letter. Mm-hmm. And It's a really rigorous program, meaning you have to quit your job.
Yeah.
You cannot work. It's 3 years, you know, it's really expensive, especially TCU. I think it's $85,000 for their program,
yeah.
You know, so 3 years, no working, really expensive. And it's a very rigorous program with a very high rate of like things like divorce and, you know, lots of stress.
Yeah.
So then I have neurologists and everybody else in my life looking at me saying, hey, stress is your worst enemy now. Don't do anything that's going to cause a lot of stress. And
yeah.
So I'm like, what do I do now? You know, so I kind of had some really big decisions to make really quick because it was all kind of in rapid succession of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole life up until that point, that was my goal, you know, was to do CRNA. And so I've pretty much made up my mind. I think I was at like day, I think, you know, when you first start school and you have like 11 days to, you know, drop a class before you get, you know, 50% of your money back or whatever for that semester.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was going to lose like $15,000 if I didn't decide in the next like 2 days. So I had to decide like my entire future. I had 2 days to do it. And so I just decided, you know what? I just don't think that this is going to be the right way to go.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right way to go is, but I'm going to just kind of figure it out. So I decided to withdraw from the TCU program. And I later on had decided I'm going to go through with family nurse practitioner because I think that I can do it, you know, part-time mm-hmm. while I'm working as a nurse and it won't be as stressful and I can kind of just do it at my own pace. And turned out to be, you know, exactly what I needed and everything.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I finished NP school, started working for somebody else. I did Department of Labor and, Texas work comp injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a little while, personal injury, you know, complaints and things like that. So that was kind of interesting. And then for a very small amount of time, I worked for a company that did house calls. It was insurance based, but they did house calls. So I was doing 19 and 20 house calls a day.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
It was a lot.
Wow.
it was a whole lot.
Wow.
That model is not very sustainable.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So, when I, that job did not work out very well. I, ended up not getting paid for a couple paychecks. So I was in a position to where I was going to have to find another job, obviously, because that was not a sustainable model,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. How do you take care of your patients, you
right.
know, when you're having to see so many a day? And
well, I was fine with that aspect of it because I'm not afraid of, like, it actually wasn't that hard for me, that part of it. The problem was the model wasn't sustainable. And
yeah.
so the business itself was failing
mm-hmm.
and they weren't able to pay me.
Wow.
And so I went literally two paychecks without being paid.
Pay you. Wow.
And I continued to work.
Oh my gosh.
And so by the second time I was like, okay, like, yeah, like how do you keep paying for gas? Like,
yeah.
you know, it's like, okay, hey, you can't do this anymore.
I can't work for free.
Yeah.
I'd love to. But.
So at that point, I pretty much was like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out something else. And so for a while I had seen, a few different people kind of posting or a few different clinics, I guess, talking about direct primary care.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked into it and, there's another local direct primary care in the city that I'd lived in, and I'd seen a lot of people talking about that. And then another one here in Fort Worth that I had seen, that, and I'd kind of went on their website, and I was reading up about it, and I was like, man, this is really cool. Like, if I ever were to own my own clinic, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's the way that I would do it, you know? And so when I was presented with, you know, not being paid.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was actually January around that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really tight, you know, market for nurse practitioners with job market, that is.
Yeah.
For family nurse practitioners, there's a lot of schools around here. So there's a lot of graduates, not very many jobs, et cetera. So I was kind of like, I can either start my own thing or, you know, try and just start pumping out, you know, thing. So I just decided,
why not
just start my own thing?
Yeah.
So I did. And, I decided direct primary care was the way I wanted to go. So I started it up.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So I know a little bit about direct primary care, but how is direct primary care different than like traditional health insurance, or like, do you use them together, or are they completely different? How does that work?
So the biggest thing about direct primary care is like the way that things have evolved in healthcare, it's gotten so complicated. Everything has just gotten so, you know, I laugh because, like, you know that meme where that guy has, like, the yarn, you know, and he's got I think it's from, what's that show? He's got the cigarette in his hand and the yarn, and he's all anxious and trying to explain, like,
everything,
the convoluted. Like, that's how I feel about insurance
and
insurance-based, you know, healthcare. And the everyday person trying to navigate that, you know, like, it's gotten so complicated, like insurance, co-insurance, copay, deductibles, out-of-pocket max, premiums.
Yeah.
You know, like why are we having to deal with all this for primary care?
Yeah.
This is primary care. Like, this is preventative services. This is literally you coming in to talk to your doctor or nurse practitioner,
yes,
or PA, you know, this is you coming in to have a relationship with somebody, just to have them know you, know about you, know your, you know, susceptibilities, know your diet, know your lifestyle, you know, just to know about you, so that they can know what to watch out for, what labs to order, like, hey, I think we should watch out for this. Hey, I think we need to, you know, order some imaging just to make sure that, you know, I know you have a high risk of this in your family. Let's order some genetic testing, or, you know, things like that. This, why should we make this so complicated?
Yeah.
You know,
in health, regular health insurance companies, they dictate what you can and can't, get, what gets covered and what doesn't. So that really limits patients on,
if you think about it in that regard, the provider is really working for the insurance company. They're not working for you.
Yeah.
And so that's really the difference. So with direct primary care, that's the goal, is to bring the whole relationship back to between the patient and the provider.
Yes.
So that's the whole goal. You make healthcare simple again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the middleman out of the equation entirely.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay any overhead staff, you know, to go chasing after payments. I don't have to wait weeks to get, you know, to get paid. I have a stable and reliable, I know how much I'm going to be getting every month. Mm-hmm. So we're good there. And I don't have to have patient panels that are 3,000 and 4,000 patients.
Yeah.
Meaning I don't have to see 30 to 35 patients a day. Meaning
you
don't have to get 7 minutes with me. And that's not an arbitrary number. That's really how much on average patients get with their providers.
Wow.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
With their primary care physician. Like, how much can you possibly get through to your, you know, your provider in 7 minutes?
Yeah.
So, in DPC or direct primary care models, we spend usually anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half.
Wow.
Like, usually on the initial visit, I'm with my patients for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And
that's
And we're just sitting there just kind of talking about life. Like, you know, tell me about your kids. Tell me about your husband.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about your risk factors and tell me what you do for a living. And, you know, I mean, you get to know that person.
Yeah.
To really know that person. And that's the difference. And I only have, you know, my patient panel stays small so that I, you know, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know? And so, because of that, I have quality relationships with these people. They pay a small monthly fee and they get all access to me whenever they want. or whenever they need, mm-hmm. you know, after hours, urgent needs. And then anything they need that can be done in the office is included in that fee.
Wow.
So like sutures, biopsies, pap smears, you know, yeah. all of that. And then their annual labs are included. Mm-hmm. Any labs that they need on top of annual labs, we don't mark anything up. So it's all at wholesale pricing, like whatever LabCorp charges us is what we charge you. So,
wow.
you know, a CBC, $1.75.
Wow.
You know, I had a patient, yeah. I had a patient that I had to send off to get a workup with GI, and they charged her $500 for labs. And she came back to me and she was like, oh my gosh, they charged me $500 for labs. And I was like, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you come back? And she was like, I don't know. I was there and it just happened so fast yeah. and they just drew it. And then they showed me how much. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, okay, well, she was doing serial testing, you know, to make sure that her liver enzymes were coming back down. Mm-hmm. The next time that she had those drawn, $53.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
So, I mean, that just shows you like for even as a cash payer, you know, in a traditional, you know, medical office, how much you're getting upcharged for as a cash payer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of crazy. But all of that, if you ask me, has mm-hmm. been driven up by the healthcare model. Like
yeah.
the health insurance model.
Oh,
the
yeah.
way that it is now.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, how much overhead you're having to pay and paying that middleman, the health insurance company.
Well, it's become inflated artificially and it hasn't been checked by anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's the problem. Yeah. Some of it was overhead, you know, but then it yeah. just kind of just flew out of control and they're just like, well, we're just going to just throw this at you and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I mean, think about it. How many times have you seen a bill where they're like, this is not a bill? And you're like, oh my God, that's what you're asking, you know, my insurance to pay?
Yeah.
But if you were to call and say, like, how much is this cash? And they're like, you know,
yeah.
it's like a third of that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, well, why would you ask for, you know, $18,000 whenever it's, you told me it was only six?
Yeah.
Well, because insurance would only actually pay six, but we thought we'd ask them for 18.
Yeah. It's like, we thought we'd try to get more.
Right.
And everything.
And so the whole thing is just, it's a joke.
That's
you know?
Crazy.
But anyway, so, yeah. you know, direct primary care is really a way to make it to where we have small patient panels. It's all inclusive. Mm-hmm. It's a flat membership fee. Most things are included. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I blanked out.
But it looks like it is like better for the patient. Like you're getting higher quality care. You're getting more time with your provider. You know, it seems like, you know, you're looking for the best interest in the patient, not just for their health care, but like for the financial part of it too.
Oh,
like you're
absolutely.
Saving them money.
You're
wanting them to get better. Cause I've heard, and I've never worked in a primary care setting. I've only worked in transport in the hospital, but I've heard that there's so many different requirements with insurance companies. You have to make so many referrals. You have to like submit so much paperwork just to the insurance company to get reimbursed. So it's like, are you making these referrals or writing all these things up for the best interest of the patient, or are you doing that for the insurance company? Like, does the patient need a referral? Do they need a prescription?
See,
you know, how does that work? Tell me.
This is the funniest thing. Like, yeah. So we, in our office, we have some patients who use us as more of like a concierge type thing, just because of that access, because mm-hmm. yeah, the quality is better. It's way better.
Yeah.
And the difference people, when I tell people it's a membership based, you know, model, mm-hmm. they say, oh, it's like concierge. DPC is really difficult to explain in an elevator speech because it's really more of a movement. Like mm-hmm. it really is a movement.
Yeah.
It's really trying to change the paradigm. It's a paradigm shift away from the typical traditional insurance model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about primary care and where the cascade, you know, of all of the inflated costs and all of the, you know, bad health comes from. Mm-hmm. I mean, primary care is where we can make the most change,
oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And look what we've done to it. We've created all these obstacles and all these barriers and all this red tape. And if we just fix this part right here, mm-hmm. and just said, okay, take all that away. And DPC is the cure.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but we still have some people that we still have to do those referrals for.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with that all the time. And I see the insurance coming back and saying, you know, you missed this line on this form and this, and it's crazy the amount of, you know, caveats and just pushback that you get.
Yeah.
And it's like, these people are paying for a service.
Yeah.
And insurance has to be the only thing in the world that you pay, you know, someone
yeah.
to literally dictate to you
yeah.
how you can use it, where you can use it, you know, how you can, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
the craziest thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, it's insane.
And people are paying hundreds, maybe even a thousand, you know, a month or more for a family.
My mom's is $1,100 a month.
Wow. Yeah.
It's insane.
It's
crazy. Insanity.
Yeah.
So what we like to do, we typically, any people who are uninsured, we always want them to have a safety net. So we always,
yeah.
for people who are mostly healthy, we always suggest either a health share or mm-hmm. a high deductible plan of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Just in case, like, you need
oh, yeah.
an ER visit
yes.
or emergent surgery or something.
Yes. I always yeah. recommend having, you always need a safety net.
Yeah.
Plus, like, you know, you never know what kind of diagnosis could be around the corner. And if that were to happen, you know, you don't want some kind of pre-existing condition that may turn up that when you get on a plan, they, you know, whatever plan you get on may not want to pay for that for X amount of years or whatever, you
yeah.
know? So it's always best to have that or
yeah.
recs or whatever might come up.
Yeah.
So I always recommend either a health share or a high deductible plan,
mm-hmm.
but DPC can take care of 80 to 90%. I would say really probably 90 to 95% of your needs.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So my patients will text me. I mean, I text with my patients like every month.
Wow.
I mean,
that's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
they're like, hey, I need, you know, a refill on this, or hey, I feel like I've got a UTI coming on. Can I swing by,
mm-hmm.
you know, and give you a urine sample, or, you know what I mean? Like we literally will text. I have HIPAA compliant texting
mm-hmm.
through an application called Spruce.
Oh, cool.
It's great. So it's like encrypted on both of our ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if they, you know, hey, I feel like I've got a cold or whatever complaint, Spruce has the ability to do like a quick little virtual visit, and it does like a pre-screening.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll has like a thing of a whole, you pick the symptom and you send it to them and they fill out this questionnaire, and then you can like hop on a little, you know, FaceTime phone call with them on Spruce. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of cool software out there, like aimed specifically for DPC providers. Like
wow.
it's becoming a real thing. It's a movement.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really
that's
neat.
So cool. Yeah, that's awesome. It just seems like that model, like you just get more connected with your patients and they get more connected with you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that helps with like less visits to like an urgent care or the ER whenever you have a cold and nobody's open, or, you know, you can't get a hold of your primary
Absolutely.
Care provider. And so.
Well, and that is actually a really good point. So one of the really cool things about DPC is for employer groups.
Mm-hmm.
For employer groups, it works out really well because exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
So when you drive down the cost of healthcare, that's the irony behind this, right? And that's what I'm trying to say, is like therein lies exactly what we're saying, is by paying cash directly,
mm-hmm.
monthly, by, you know, you can literally drive down the cost of healthcare, increase value, you know what I mean? Pay less overall on a monthly basis, and overall yearly, if you really look apples to apples.
Yeah.
and drive down cost overall by, you know, decreasing urgent care visits, mm-hmm. decreasing ER visits, you know, catching things earlier than you would have because I can't get into my doctor for 3 weeks because yeah. they're booked out or whatever. Think about as an employer, if you had, you know, a group of 60 employees or something, mm-hmm. you know, we're improving, you know, sick time or sick leave. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? We are, let's say you do have major medical. Well, if you brought on a DPC, we could potentially save you a ton of money just by decreasing ER visits and urgent care visits, because that's the majority of that, and medications, which is another thing that we can help with.
Yeah.
So employer groups is another area that is really great for DPCs that bring on DPCs.
That's awesome. So do you see like with your patients, like if they need, you know, some type of specialty, maybe if you saw them, you know, with traditional health insurance coverage with like one of your previous jobs, would you need to refer them out more? Or are you having to refer them out less and take care of a lot of that in-house? Or are you still having to like refer to specialists like cardiologists and if they have diabetes and different things like that? How does that compare?
So I try and manage, you know, as much as I can in-house. And the really cool thing is what I love about DPC is there is a really good network of support. So one of the resources that I have available to me is this software where I can basically take one of my, you know, patient visit notes mm-hmm. and I can upload kind of a consult, and I have access to any kind of specialists I want to talk to and say, hey, this is patient so-and-so. Mm-hmm. What do you think we should do? Should I start them on, you know, metformin, or should we upgrade to da-da-da? Or do I need to go ahead and send them to a specialist? Mm-hmm. And I can basically consult with a specialist before I send them to a specialist.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
that's cool.
That's one of the tools at my disposal.
And that saves the patient time and money too. And then you as the provider, you're able to, you know, if they do need a prescription for diabetes or a heart condition that's maybe not that serious, then you're still looking at those medications that they're on. Because I know working in the ICU and the ER, we'd get patients all the time that they were on, you know, these medications mm-hmm. with their cardiologist, these medications with their primary care physician. And it was like, and then some of them would be conflicting with one another and they don't know because, you know, that doesn't get communicated.
Right.
So that's awesome that.
Yeah. And that's another thing is like, you know, that's getting into this whole DPC world has also opened my eyes to finding resources for prescriptions, you know, mm-hmm. find like thinking outside of the box. That's what's been so cool about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Was like when I first got into it, you know, I went into it because I honestly just didn't want to bill insurance. I was like, I just hate this.
You heard about all the, well, you lived the horror stories and you're like,
I'm like, billing insurance is terrible. Like this is awful, you know, and I just thought that it seemed like such a better way, you know, not only for patients, you know, and their outcomes, but for the provider too.
Oh yeah.
And their sanity.
Yeah.
You know, it's a win-win. But yeah, getting into this whole thing, you learn like there's really cool resources in Texas. Okay, so in other states, mm-hmm. direct primary cares are able to dispense medications, meaning like I have a buddy in Colorado who dispenses medications for all of her patients.
Oh, wow. So like, they can get those medications directly.
Lisinopril, metoprolol, da da da.
Like she makes literally it so has much even easier.
Yeah, like she has puts the script on the bottle, counts them up. And guess how much they cost?
Probably barely anything.
Not much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, here's your script. That'll be $3.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Like wholesale cost.
Yeah.
Which, so other states, that's part of the DPC model mm-hmm. is prescription savings. In Texas, unfortunately, as you know, with being in the CBD world, we're always behind the curve on, you know, innovative things like that. We cannot dispense. So, you know, I don't know if you saw the news like about Mark Cuban. He had just started some, I haven't even looked into it too much, but I saw an article about how he had started a pharmacy, you know, for basically low cost prescriptions. Mm-hmm. Well, similar to what he did, there are already a lot of things like that on the market.
Wow.
Where you can get really low cost prescriptions for patients. And so just things like that, just finding things like that, finding low cost surgeries, mm-hmm. MDSave.com, Medmo is one for imaging.
Oh, wow.
RadSave or, you know, just all these different resources. So mm-hmm. like you were saying, you know, helping the patient find, you know, resources. I work with patients, even my insured patients. Think about it. If your deductible is $5,000 and, you know, you've had a $100 prescription so far, well, you've got $4,900 left.
Yeah.
Well, let's say you need a knee MRI. Okay, let's say that I'm going to send you to Envision Radiology and we're going to do it through your insurance, but your, you know, copay is going to be $1,800, but the cash price for a, you know, knee MRI is $900.
Yeah.
Which would you rather pay? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The $900 that's not going to count towards your deductible?
Yeah. Because you're probably not going to hit it anyway.
Just because it's going to count.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so, but there, you know, therein lies the issue. And so yeah. I do a lot of that type of stuff where I'm working with people to try and it's just so funny the amount of deconditioning I have to do, like, because there are people who will say that they want to do the 1800 because it'll count toward the deductible. And I'm like,
no.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to pay that much yeah. extra for no reason.
But it's funny how we've been so conditioned to
hit our deductible and
this is the way that we do it. We pay insurance, you know, we just pay insurance.
Yeah.
We give insurance all of our money and they will just give us, you know, they will just let us do what we can do when we can do it. You know, it's
very limited.
Right.
Yeah. So, what are some of the downfalls with direct primary care, if any?
One of the biggest ones really pediatrics when it comes to vaccines.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest, pain points, at least for me. You know, vaccines are expensive. They're just expensive. They expire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can't, you know, keep them on stock. So we pretty much have to send to the health department.
Yeah.
Or they have to keep, you know, keep a primary pediatrician
to get the vaccines,
if, you know, through their insurance, mm-hmm. if they want to get medications or their vaccines through insurance, because
yeah,
nobody's going to just say like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's one of the biggest pain points I would say, for me in my practice. Like I said, I think the complexity, ironically, the simplicity, it's so simple, right?
Yeah.
Like it seems so simple.
Yeah.
You pay me a flat fee and you have access to me.
Like, yeah.
No copays, no nothing.
Yeah.
Like same day, next day visits, always guaranteed.
Yeah. Wow.
Everything that I do. And after hours access mm-hmm. for urgent matters. You cut your finger, I'll meet you at the office and I'll suture your finger up.
Wow.
Your annual labs are included, including pap smears when needed, like annual women's health visits, you know, virtual visits, unlimited texting, you know, no copays. That's pretty much it. That's the elevator speech. So it's pretty simple. But people find it really complex and it seems like it's just, so that's the other pain point. It just seems like it's a difficult concept to grasp.
Yeah. Well, cause it's not like they're normal. It's not what they've done for years.
Well, and
years
you look at how complex
decades.
Insurance is.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hard part is the complexity of the insurance that I have to combat because people don't actually understand the insurance. They just go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you like try and explain to them like, well, you know, like,
yeah.
Look at how much you're actually paying. You're paying them $500 a month in premiums. Mm-hmm. Then every time you go to the doctor, you're paying, you know, $40 in copays. Mm-hmm. And then every time you, you know, get a bill in the mail, you're paying 80% of, you know, whatever it was that you had done until you meet, you know, X amount. And then after that, you pay even more until you hit this amount. So, yeah. Like, total, this is how much you paid. And then for me, it would be $80 a month.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's just, it seems so simple, but it's like, you know, getting your patient's mind around that, yeah. And everything.
It's a hard concept to wrap your mind around because we just, it is different. It's yeah. Just so different.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. It's so good to like hear about that and hear the options and everything that people have. So tell us about your wellness clinic too, because I want to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I started, doing aesthetics right about the same time that I started, you know, with the family practice.
Uh-huh.
And, with Botox and fillers, and I just found that it was really fun. It was kind of more of a hobby though, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of doing it on the side. And, I just really enjoyed it and I just kind of wanted to expand on that. So I knew eventually I wanted to start, you know, an aesthetics practice.
Yeah.
Since I'm a nurse practitioner, it's not a med spa, it's an aesthetics practice.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was like a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
started R&R Aesthetics and Wellness. So R&R mm-hmm. for Reese and Reagan, my two girls.
Aw, that's cool.
And, you know, I bought this old dingy church and just fixed it up.
Yes,
and
you were telling
it.
Me about that. And yeah. It's located south of Fort Worth.
Yes. So it's between Mansfield and Burleson around the Rendon area. So okay. It's directly south of Fort Worth between Burleson and Mansfield.
Awesome.
So I bought this church, rehabbed it, and, you know, it's my clinic. It was going to be just for JourneyMed and with the future intention of starting an aesthetics practice and adding that on later, and somehow spiraled in out of control to right now. And yeah. We did it, but here we are. So
yeah.
So it's a full on aesthetics practice. We do Botox fillers. We do PDO threads. We have an Optimus machine that does radio frequency microneedling.
Oh, wow.
We do intense pulse light therapy. So it's kind of like a laser. It's like, I call it a magic eraser for your face.
Yeah.
Dialase to diode laser hair removal. Mm-hmm. We have a hydrofacial. We do like traditional relaxation facials and dermaplaning and all that kind of stuff. We do teeth whitening. IV hydration, we do weight loss, peptide and hormone therapy, we do all that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I'm actually starting a functional medicine training in July.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to really try and, I've always kind of tiptoed or, you know, toed the line between kind of integrative and traditional medicine.
Yeah.
I treat all of my patients, however they would like, you know,
yeah.
However holistically they want to.
Yeah.
There's some patients who are just not into it whatsoever, yeah. You know, and there's some that are totally into it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do some more official training on functional medicine to hopefully help with
those
who are more interested in pursuing for my own health,
yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll help with my patients too. So that'll start in July with Functional Medicine University.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. And do you, I mean, I'm sure you do, but whenever you, all your patients, do you look at them holistically already?
Yes.
Yeah. With diet and lifestyle.
Even the ones who aren't interested in integrative medicine,
yeah.
It's always a lifestyle, you know, approach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's the nursing model,
yes.
You know, through and through, you know, hey, what's your diet?
Yes.
Hey, how's your lifestyle?
Yeah.
How's the stress levels? How are you sleeping? You know, we always approach the basics, always. But I'm hoping to get a little bit more into like the nutraceuticals and maybe swapping out some of the prescriptions for, like, let's see if we can maybe swap this for a nutraceutical and see how this one does, you know?
Yeah.
And get you off some of these meds.
That's cool. So what do you think about patients incorporating like CBD or legal medical cannabis into their daily health routine?
I think it's great. I've been a huge fan of CBD. I think CBD is great.
I
it's helped my headaches a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've had horrendous migraines. You know that.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I reached out to you, back out to you initially. So yeah, I think CBD is awesome. As far as medical marijuana, I know my MS neurologist is in Ohio, where medical marijuana is a lot more utilized. So he prescribes medical marijuana for his MS patients.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he has seen, he is a huge fan.
Yeah.
And he's one of the top MS doctors, in the world.
Wow.
And he's a huge
fan. He's a big
fan
of medical.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't personally, know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, cause it's not legal in Texas. So it's hard for providers really to.
Well, I do think
there is the, Texas Compassionate Use Act, but it's only 1% THC.
Is it?
It's very restrictive. So you
haven't
looked
at it.
It's super expensive too.
Yeah.
So there's only so many dispensaries in Texas.
So it's still like really limited.
It's very limited. There's a very small, group of diagnoses that you can use it for. And so I don't even think you can use it for chronic pain, PTSD, seizures. There's one more I'm missing, I think, but a lot of people have chronic pain and you can't use cancer, seizures, and PTSD.
Oh, really?
So, but a lot of people use medical for chronic pain and you can't even get that in Texas.
Right.
So,
which is crazy because it's like, here's some fentanyl.
Yeah. Here's some fentanyl that you can overdose on and die.
as we have an opiate crisis and an opiate epidemic.
Yeah. Like it's here's not your hydrocodone
funny.
That,
I mean,
you know, don't take it with wine. You may die.
Yeah. Like we've got, you know, we've got pain clinics. Every corner.
Just popping out candy.
Here's some fentanyl. Oh, wait, we got you hooked on fentanyl. Here's some Suboxone. Sorry about that. You got to take it for the next 10 years of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's insane. Like, and it's just
I have patients.
Crazy.
I have patients who have been trying to get off of Suboxone for so many years. And they're the strips or whatever. Like they've had to literally like take strips of the strips every single day.
Oh my gosh.
For like years. And when they try to stop, they get so violently ill.
Wow.
They cannot get off of it.
Yeah.
And this is Suboxone that they started 10 plus years ago to get off of opiates.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And these are like normal everyday people who just want to live normal everyday lives and are so far removed from, you know, their time of addiction and they can't get off of the drug that they were put on to get to that point. I mean, so I'm very for it.
Wow. It's just, it blows my mind how that's legal, but something like medicinal marijuana or cannabis, like Texans are just like, nope, I don't think so.
I'm really hoping, I don't know. I don't know what the
holdup is.
I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know what the holdup is even in like the most conservative of minds.
Like, it's a lack of education.
Well, even so, I mean,
they think it's the devil and it's going to kill them.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, we just got back from Hawaii and they have medical there and there's so
many. Oh, you'll be there again? So that was a recent picture.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought that was a repost.
Oh no. I was just there. So we were there for over 2 weeks, and there's so many. Yeah, there's so many providers. You know, medical marijuana providers.
What's your life?
I love to travel. I'm a travel addict.
I do too. I still want your life.
Oh, it helps when you have a dad who, you know, has houses all over the country and is a pilot.
And you don't have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
That does help.
Your kids are a little older.
Just a little bit. Makes it a little easier. Just a little bit. Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, when we're in Hawaii, you know, there's so many like, medical marijuana providers.
Really?
And, you know, they look at it from, and they talking to the locals about how Texas isn't legal, and they're like, why?
Yeah.
They're like, what's wrong with y'all?
I know.
We've been using it for forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same with Colorado. There's over 30 states that have a medical marijuana program.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, it's crazy. But, well, I have one more question for you before we wrap it up. So if you could meet anybody dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, man. Ooh, that one caught me off guard. Let's see.
It's a toughie. That's usually the question that stumps everybody on the podcast.
Dead or asleep. I'm going to pick somebody real weird and people are going to judge me.
It
would be somebody like Charles Manson or something like real weird. Honestly, I swear I'm a good nurse practitioner. I just want to pick the brain. I probably should have gone into psych, to be honest.
Yeah. Why Charles Manson? Just to pick his brain.
Yeah. Just to kind of.
Yeah.
See, witness, understand, I don't know.
Yeah.
Understand.
I love it.
Well, I was going to say, actually probably not Charles Manson, because he just kind of talks gibberish, nonsensical gibberish. I was going to say someone more like John Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he, like, just the, you know.
What would you ask him if you could ask him one question?
I don't know. See, that's so hard, because it would be a lie. You know what I mean? Like that's why it would be a hard
conversation,
a hard thing to ask. Like, just because you would know that anything he would say would be a lie. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would ask him.
Just have a good, conversation.
I think I would just
coffee.
Talk to him and just kind of like, you know, just witness his love for himself, I guess. I don't know.
I love it. Well, tell the listeners where they can find out more about you and your two practices and everything.
Yeah. So Journey Med Direct Primary Care. Our website is www.journeymed.org. And on our website, you can find all of our Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. And then R&R Aesthetics and Wellness is at www.rrawellness.com. And you can find all of our social pages there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It was fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll see y'all next time.